Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina may yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa may yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa nashhadu anna sayyidana wa habibana wa maulana Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh amma ba'd. Respected listeners, as we traverse along life's path, we are destined to encounter many challenges, many tests and trials. The immutable system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is designed such that it aims at shaping a person. And the system of life, it aims at bringing out the best in people by subjecting them to varying conditions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ وَلِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And these days, the days of varying conditions, good conditions and not so good conditions, we alternate these days and these visitations among the people so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may make evident those who believe, those who are firm in their iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings about certain conditions in a person's life so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may test the genuineness of the faith that that person and that individual claims to possess. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, مثل المؤمن كمثل الزرع لا تزال الريح تميله ولا يزال المؤمن يصيبه البلاء. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the example of the believer is like that of a plant which is continually bent over by the wind. The believer is continually beset with afflictions. The continuous blowing of winds cause a plant to bend over. Calamities, tests and trials are the winds that cause a believer to sway and bend. If we had no winter, the spring would not be so pleasant. If we did not sometimes taste of adversity and grief, then prosperity and happiness would not be so welcome. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one hadith, he explains the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the many reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses to test a believer. And we learn that by virtue of the test that a person experiences through the calamity, through the difficulty that has befallen the person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to elevate his ranks. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to raise this person, the believer, to such a lofty position to which even his or her acts of worship cannot elevate him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, إِنَّ الْعَبْدِ إِذَا سَبَقَتْ لَهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى مَنْزِلَهِ لَمْ يَبْلُغْهَا بِعَمَلِهِ إِبْتَلَاهُ اللَّهُ فِي جَسَدِهِ أَوْ فِي مَالِهِ أَوْ فِي وَلَدِهِ ثُمَّ صَبَّرَهُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ حَتَّى يُبْلِغَهُ الْمَنْزِلَةَ الَّتِي سَبَقَتْ لَهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for his believing servant a position in Jannah, a very lofty position which he or she cannot reach through their deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then bring about certain tests in the person's life, test a person with regards to his health. Allah will test a person with regards to his wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test a person with regards to his children. And Allah will give that person the ability and the strength to persevere and to endure those difficulties and those calamities. And through that endurance and through the perseverance and through the patience, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate the ranks of the person so that he may enjoy or she may enjoy that healthy position or that lofty position that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reserved. Once the Shaykh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani Rahmatullah alayhi advised his son and he said, Ya Bunayya, innal musibata ma ja'at lituhlikak wa innama ja'at litamtahina sabrak wa imanak. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never tests you to destroy you. Through the calamity that has befallen you, through that illness, through that sickness, through that disease, through the financial loss, whatever test you may be experiencing, whatever difficulty you may be going through, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never wishes to destroy you through that test and through that difficulty. He says that Allah wishes to test your patience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to test your forbearance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to assess the level of faith you have in Allah. Remember these type of attributes and qualities. The attribute of sabar, the attribute of hilm, tolerance, the attribute of forbearance. These are qualities and attributes that a person is required to develop. And a person is required to imbibe within a person these qualities. And how can a person develop these qualities and these attributes? It is by exercising sabar, by experiencing patience. And a person will only do that when a person is tested and certain calamities, tests and trials are brought upon an individual. Now, there was a great Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We spoke of the hadith wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that at times Allah ta'ala will test you with your health. At times Allah ta'ala will test you with your wealth. At times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may test you with your own children. And the reason for that is to elevate you to a lofty position that Allah has reserved for you in Jannah. There was a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not much is known about this great Nabi of Allah azza wa jal. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested him in all three ways. Allah tested him with his wealth. Allah tested him with his children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tested him with his health. And that was Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. This evening we will discuss the many patients that Ayyub alayhi salam had faced and the difficulties that he had encountered in this world and how he reacted to those difficulties, how he responded to those situations and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the ability to accept the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter how unfavorable it may have seemed. Sayyiduna Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, al-Imam Qurtubi rahmatullah alayhi writes about him in his tafsir. He says, Ya'udu nasabu Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam ila Sayyidina Ishaq ibn Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. He says that Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, he was from the children of Ishaq bin Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of this in the Quran. Allah azza wa jal says about Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, wa wahabna lahu Ishaq. We gave him Ishaq as a gift. Wa Yaqub, and we blessed him with Yaqub. We know Ishaq was the son of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ayyub, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of Ayyub alayhi salam, ويوسف وموسى وهارون وكذلك نجزي المحسنين. So we find that all the Anbiya, after Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, all the Anbiya were from the descendants of Ishaq. Ibrahim alayhi salam had two sons. The one was Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam and Ishaq. From the descendants of Ismail alayhi salam, there was no Nabi. The only Nabi who came from the descendants of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam was Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And all the other Anbiya, they were all from the children of Ishaq. And that is why Imam Qurtubi rahmatullah alayhi says that Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, he was from the children of Ishaq alayhi salam. Ayyub alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him to the land of Sham in a place or a city known as Suran, and this city was located in the greater land of Syria. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had bestowed upon Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam in the early days of his life, Allah had bestowed upon him all sorts of material comforts. He was an extremely successful businessman. He owned vast areas of land. Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam owned commercial properties. He had huge, magnificent houses. Not just one house, but he had many palatial homes that he possessed. And he also owned innumerable herds of livestock. And he had countless servants and attendants. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him in the early years of his life. In fact, for a lengthy period of his life, Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam enjoyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with physical strength. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with excellent health. So he had it all. He had everything that you could ever imagine to have. He possessed everything that you could ever wish you owned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him in terms of the material things of this world. He was very, very successful. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with physical strength. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with good health. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with a pious and a righteous wife. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, خَيْرُ مَتَاعِ الدُّنْيَا الْمَرْأَةُ الصَّالِحَةُ. The best mata, the best thing that this dunya has to offer is a pious wife. A pious wife, because she will support you and she will remain with you in those moments of difficulties. You will experience difficulties, you will experience problems, you will experience certain challenges in your life. And at that time, at that point, your spouse who is salihah, who is pious and who is righteous, she will remain with you and will be supportive and will help you overcome the challenge in your life and the difficulty that you face in your life. And the same applies with the husband. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, إِذَا أَتَاكُم مَن تَرْضَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ فَزَوِّجُوهُ. If someone comes to you and asks for your daughter's hand in marriage, or asks for your sister's hand in marriage, asks for your granddaughter's hand in marriage, and you are happy, you are fully satisfied with this individual's deen, his level of religiosity, his relationship with Allah, you are happy and you satisfied with the level of his deen, and you are satisfied with the level of his character, his mannerisms, and the values by which he lives his life, then فَزَوِّجُوا, then give your daughter, give your sister, give your granddaughter in marriage to this person. So it applies to the wife and it applies to the husband as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really blessed Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. And who was his wife? She was a very righteous woman. He was married to the daughter of Yusuf alayhi salam. According to one narration, Ayyub alayhi salam was married to Rahma. And Rahma was the daughter of Yusuf alayhi salam. However, others maintain the view that Rahma was the daughter of Ephraim, and Ephraim was the son of Yusuf. So according to some, Rahma, the wife of Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, she was the granddaughter of Yusuf alayhi salam. Then as far as his children are concerned, so one is the material things of this world that he had owned and he had possessed. The subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with 14 children. Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. He had 7 sons and 7 daughters. 14 children, 7 of them were sons and 7 of them were daughters. Look at what a perfect, perfect family Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed this Nabi with. Then over and above all this, Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam was blessed with fame. He was blessed with popularity. His people and his community loved him. Everybody loved Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. And he was a Nabi of Allah by the time, of course. He enjoyed all these comforts. He enjoyed the good health. He enjoyed such a wonderful family. He enjoyed the luxuries and whatever material things the world had to offer. He enjoyed all this, the popularity and everything else, while being a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the people really loved him, the community loved him, they respected him, and they loved associating themselves with him. So this was Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. For 70 years of his life, This was his condition. Prosperity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed him to live a life of prosperity. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses to test Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. Now comes the test. Now comes the adversity. After the prosperity that he had enjoyed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now wants to test Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. And there are two primary reasons for the test. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wish to test Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam? Because number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to produce an example. Allah wishes to produce a role model for every believer who suffers adversity after prosperity, who loses a bounty after enjoying that bounty for many years. And that example was to be Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, understand one thing, that to suffer from poverty is definitely difficult. Right? To suffer from poverty, to grow up in poverty, to only know poverty is difficult. But what's worse than that? Right? To suffer from poverty after enjoying abundance, this is far more difficult. To not have a child is difficult. To never have a child, it's something difficult. But to lose a child after having one is far more challenging. It is far more difficult. To suffer from ill health from the time of birth, to suffer from an ailment or from a disease from the time of birth, this is undoubtedly difficult. But to deal with an ailment and to suffer from a disease after enjoying good health, this is certainly more difficult. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to produce He wants to produce an example for that believer who will enjoy good health for many years of his life and then suffer from an illness, suffer from a disease, suffer from an ailment. How is that believer going to deal with that adversity in a latter part of his or her life? That believer who enjoys prosperity for many years in terms of the financial things of this world, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings upon that person a test that robs him of that comfort that he enjoyed in this world. How is that individual required to respond and to react? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses a person with a child. For many years the person has children, and then Allah tests that individual. Allah tests that parent by taking away the child. How is that individual required to respond? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a role model in the form of Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. So that is the first reason why Allah brings these tests upon Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, so that every one of us, when the time comes in our lives, when we are to deal with a challenge, with a difficulty, with any calamity, we have a role model in front of us in the form of Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. And the standard that we should aim for is that of the Anbiya in everything. That should be our standard in life. We should always, when it comes to our deen, and when it comes to matters related to our religion and our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should have a very high standard. We should not settle with the mediocre. We should not settle with the average. But you should have a very high standard. When it comes to salah, look at your salah. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about salah, صَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, observe your salah, pray your salah, perform your salah as you have seen me perform my salah. No ummati, no member from the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ever prayed a better salah than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was the highest type of salah that you could have. There was no salah that was better than the salah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you as an ordinary member of my ummah, that is the standard when it comes to your salah. Now of course we can never, no matter how hard you try, and no matter how often you practice, and no matter how much you feel you have perfected your salah, you will never be able to reach the salah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But that is the standard. That is what you are going to aim for. When it comes to dua for Jannah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to us, إِذَا سَأَلْتُمُ اللَّهَ الْجَنَّةِ, when you make dua for Jannah, don't ask Allah just for Jannah. Ask Allah for Al-Firdaus. Ask for Jannatul Firdaus. Jannatul Firdaus is the highest level in paradise. Now bulk of the ummah won't make it to Jannatul Firdaus. But that should be your standard. So when it comes to the adversities that we face in life and the challenges that we have to deal with, we look at the highest standard. And that is in the form of Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam. The second reason, so the first reason Allah tests Ayyub alayhi salatu wassalam is to produce an example for every one of us. So we have this example before us. The second reason for testing Ayyub alayhi salatu wassalam was to determine whether Ayyub will remain thankful to Allah and he will continue showing gratitude to Allah as he used to during his many years of prosperity. Look, years of prosperity had passed. 70 years of prosperity, subhanAllah, in the life of Ayyub. And during those years of prosperity, he was thankful, he was grateful, and he turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expressing his thanks and gratitude to Allah. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to test Ayyub alayhi salatu wassalam and determine whether he will remain grateful to Allah. Grateful to Allah. One is to exercise patience and to have sabr and to persevere. But a level above that is to express gratitude in your moment of adversity. One is, of course, we are required to express gratitude and thanks in our days of prosperity. And we learn that we should exercise sabr and patience and persevere in the days of our adversity and difficulty. But Allah wants to see Ayyub alayhi salam whether he will remain grateful in his days of adversity as he was grateful and thankful to Allah in his days of prosperity. So the trials and the tests start materializing. The first test that Ayyub alayhi salatu wassalam experiences is he loses his wealth. The properties that he owned and whatever he possessed in terms of the material things of this world, slowly he started losing all of the things that he had possessed. And then one night, all his children passed away, all 14 of them. One go, he lost 14 children. In some narrations it comes that they were in a house, in one of the many houses of Ayyub alayhi salatu wassalam, and the house collapsed because of some natural disaster. The house collapsed and all his children were killed in an accident. In that one catastrophe, all his children had passed away. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested him with his wealth. He lost his wealth, he lost the homes that he owned, he lost the businesses that he once had, he lost the acres of land that he had possessed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after testing him with his wealth, Allah tests him with his children and he loses all his children. Moreover, he now suffered from a serious disease, which was like leprosy, and which affected his whole body, right? So this bacteria or this virus, it had affected his entire body, but his heart and his tongue, these two organs remained unaffected. And they were not infected by this disease and this virus that had spread throughout his entire body. Because of the serious illness, all his relatives, his friends and his neighbors avoided him No one wanted to come close to Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. They feared that if they were to come close to him, they will become infected, and the virus that he was carrying would be transmitted to them. So subhanAllah, he loses everything. He loses his wealth, he loses his property, he loses his children, he loses his popularity, his relatives, and those very people who would love to come and sit in the discourses of Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam do not want to even come close to him because they fear that they will be infected or affected by the virus and the disease that he was carrying. So nobody went near him except his wife, who used to take care of him. Al-mar'atu saliha, the righteous, pious wife, Rahmah alayha salam, the daughter or granddaughter of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, she remained loyal to her husband, serving him as she used to serve him in his days of prosperity. She worked. She was forced to leave the home, to leave the confines of the home, because Ayyub alayhi salam could no longer move about, and he could no longer attend to any work. So she was forced, Rahmah, she was forced to leave the home, and she earned a living for him and for herself, and at the same time she nursed him in his illness. In this miserable condition, what was Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam's reaction? How did he respond and how did he react to this test? Not just one test, but of course this was the most difficult test. The illness that he had suffered, the disease that had spread throughout his entire body, the pain that he was experiencing. You can imagine how miserable he might have felt and how difficult it might have been for him. He would spend his time in prayers, and he would spend his time in giving thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his heart and his tongue. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left two of his organs unaffected by that virus, by the disease that spread throughout his body, and he used those two organs. One was the heart. With the heart, he acknowledged and appreciated the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he used the tongue to constantly remain engaged in the dhikr of Allah and expressing thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ayyub alayhi salam really is a model of endurance. Ayyub alayhi salam was a fortitude in the most trying circumstances. Once his wife asked him, eventually she could no longer endure seeing Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam in this miserable condition, the pain and the suffering, the disease that he was affected with. And she asked him to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his mercy, because his sufferings had become unbearable. And now what did Ayyub alayhi salam say? How did he reply? He replied and he said to his wife that I have enjoyed for 70 years of my life. 70 years of my life I enjoyed good health. I was surrounded by all the luxuries that money could buy. And he says, it would be unworthy of me to complain because a mere 7 years has been spent in pain and poverty. SubhanAllah, 70 years of his life, he tells his wife, for how long did I live a life of prosperity? She said, for 70 years of your life. How long have I been suffering? She said, for 7 long years. He says, I feel ashamed. I feel embarrassed to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure me of the illness and the disease that I'm suffering from, because I enjoyed 70 years of prosperity and it has only been 7 years of suffering, 7 years of adversity. So he found it very difficult to turn to Allah and to make dua to Allah because he felt that he was most unworthy to complain before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is only 7 years, according to Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. And he felt that he was not justified to make this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then speaks of the manner in which Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam turned to Allah azza wa jal. And eventually he raised his hands and he made dua to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of that moment. Allah says, وَذْكُرْ عَبْدَنَا أَيُّوبِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Make mention of our slave Ayyub alayhi salam. Speak of Ayyub. Tell your ummah of Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. Eventually, after 7 years of suffering from the disease and the pain and the illness, he called out to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ. Allah says, he called out to his Rabb. This is the moment when he made that dua to Allah. Inni Rabb anni massani ash-shaytan binusbin wa adab. He says, oh Allah, the shaytan has inflicted weariness and pain upon me. So his suffering and the pain, he attributes it to the shaytan. He doesn't question Allah. He doesn't ask Allah. He doesn't express resentment towards the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't ask, oh Allah, why am I suffering? I am a Nabi of yours. Oh Allah, why must I endure this pain? Why do I have to go through this difficulty in my life when I was a grateful and thankful servant to you? No, none of that. He says, oh Allah, the devil has caused me to become weary, has caused me to become exhausted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elsewhere explains of the etiquette, the respect, the humility that Ayyub alayhi salatu wa salam expressed when he made dua. Wa Ayyub idh nada rabbah. Allah says when he called his Lord, he called out to Allah, what did he say? Anni massani ad-dur wa anta arhamur rahimin. All he says before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does not even ask for shifa. He feels it so difficult to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something. So what does he tell Allah? He says, أَنِّي مَسَّنِي الضُّرُ. He says, oh Allah, here I am afflicted by pain. That's what he says. He doesn't say, oh Allah, cure me. He just expresses these words before Allah. Oh Allah, here I am. I have been touched by pain. I have been afflicted by pain. Wa anta arhamur rahimin. And you are the most merciful of all the merciful. Look at the etiquette. And here we learn of the humility. Here we learn of the humbleness, the respect that Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam expresses before Allah. How he thought of himself as nothing before his Allah. And similarly, we find every other Nabi commenced his supplication by expressing his weakness, expressing his brokenness before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah speaks of the dua of Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam. قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي وَهَنَ الْعَظْمُ مِنِّي وَاشْتَعَلَ الرَّأْسُ شَيْبًا وَلَمْ أَكُمْ بِدُعَائِكَ رَبِّ شَقِيًّا. He also expresses his weakness before Allah, expresses his brokenness before Allah. Allah speaks of Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. فَنَادَ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Then the dua of Musa alayhi salatu faqir. Oh Allah, I'm faqir. I am most in need. Expressing his weakness, brokenness. The dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allahumma inni ashku ilayka du'fa quwwati wa qillata hilati wa hawani ala nas. Oh Allah, I complain to you of my weakness. So the Anbiya, they were the noblest, the highest, the paragons of Allah's creation. Yet they only expressed humility and acknowledged their desperation before Allah. The lower you consider yourself to be, the higher you are in the court of Allah. Whereas the greater you consider yourself to be, the more insignificant our need before Allah. We also must acknowledge our humbleness and brokenness before Allah. We also must acknowledge how desperate we are to have our dua answered. We cannot have even a trace of arrogance and pride. We cannot have even a trace of self-sufficiency before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the first thing we learn from the dua of Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. The etiquette, the respect, the humility that he expresses before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he makes dua. That he does not even directly ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for shifa. He says, Rabbi anni masani abdur wa anta arhamur rahimin. Oh Allah, here I am. I am afflicted by pain. I find myself in pain. This illness, this disease, this virus, it has spread throughout my body. Wa anta arhamur rahimin. Oh Allah, you are arhamur rahimin. You are the most merciful of all those who are merciful. And from here we learn, these are the attributes that we should use when making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we are suffering from a certain illness. Arhamur rahimin. Ask Allah through His rahmah. Ask Allah through His mercy. We do not deserve anything. We are not worthy of anything. So when you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something, ask Allah to give it to you through His rahmah. Ask Allah to give it to you through His mercy. If He does give it to you, it's not because you deserve it. It is because He has expressed His mercy upon you. Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he made the dua at the time of iftar, he would say, Allahumma inni as'aluka bi rahmatika allati wasi'at kulla shay'an taghfir li. Oh Allah, I don't deserve your forgiveness. I'm asking you to forgive me through your rahmah. Dhikru rahmati rabbika abdahu Zakariya. Allah answered the dua of Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam through his rahmah. So whenever we make dua to Allah, there should not be a sense of entitlement that I deserve what it is I'm asking for. Not a trace of that. There should be complete humility, etiquette, humbleness, that, oh Allah, I am the most unworthy person of what it is that I'm asking for. No matter what level of pain I'm experiencing, no matter what level of suffering I may be facing, but oh Allah, I don't deserve what it is that I'm asking for. Anta arhamur rahimin. If you give it to me, it is because you are the most merciful of those who show mercy. So this is a very important dua to make when a person is suffering from any illness, disease or sickness. Anta arhamur rahimin. When he made this dua, he did not even ask for anything. He did not even ask for shifa. But Allah loved that respect, the etiquette, the humility, the brokenness that he expressed in the dua, the attributes that he used, the manner in which he pleaded before Allah. Allah says, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ. So we answered his prayer. Immediately Allah says, we answered his prayer. فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ فَكَشَفْنَا مَا بِهِ مِنْ ضُرْ. And we removed whatever pain he had, whatever virus, whatever illness, whatever disease he was suffering from. Allah says, we removed it. Ya sahib alham, innal hamma munfarijun, la tadza'anna innal farija, innal ladhi yakshifu albalwa huwa Allahu. The poet says, ya kashifar, ya sahib alham. Oh, one who is experiencing some ham. Oh, the one who is going through some difficulty, some anxiety, some grief, depression, whatever it may be. Ya sahib alham, innal hamma munfarijun. That depression, that anxiety, that worry, that suffering, it will be removed. Innal kashif huwa Allahu idha bulit. When you are tested, and you will be tested. Every one of us will be tested. We will be tested in different ways. He says, idha bulit, fasiq billah. Put your trust in Allah. Warda bihi. Accept the decision of Allah. Accept the decree of Allah. And put your trust in Allah. Innal kashif. Innal kashifa huwa Allahu. The only one who can remove the difficulty, the anxiety, the illness, the disease, the virus, whatever it may be, the only one who can remove it is Allah. Allah says, so we answered the dua. وَآتَيْنَاهُ أَهْلَهُ وَمِثْلَهُمْ مَا. And not only did we answer the dua, Allah says, we gave him back his family. We gave him back his family and the like thereof along with them. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala who says that Ayyub alayhi salam had 7 sons, 7 daughters. We discussed it earlier. But they all died while he was undergoing the ordeal. While he was going through that ordeal, the pain, the suffering, he lost all of his children. When his days of hardship were over, according to Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his children were brought back to life. Allah brought his children back to life. This was a miracle that was witnessed in the time of Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, and that's why Allah says in the Quran, وَآتَيْنَاهُ أَهْلَ. We gave his family back to him. We brought his children back to life, and his wife also gave birth to as many more children. رَحْمَةً مِّنْ عِنْدِنَا. Why did Allah do this? Why did Allah do this? Why did Allah give him back his health, the physical health that he enjoyed, and everything else that he enjoyed? Allah says, رَحْمَةً مِّنْ عِنْدِنَا, as a mercy. Always make dua to Allah through this attribute of his, the most salient of all his attributes, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Arham Ar-Rahimin. Ask Allah through his rahmah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will certainly grant you what it is that you seek. Urkud bi rijlik hadha mughtasalun baridun wa sharab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Ayyub alayhi salatu wa salam, when Allah answered the dua, Allah said to him, strike the ground. Strike the ground with your foot. هَذَا مُغْتَسَلٌ بَارِدٌ وَشَرَابٌ. Here is cool water to bathe and drink from. When Ayyub alayhi salam's supplication was granted, when his dua was answered, he was told to rub his heel on the ground. And as he did that, a stream of fresh and clear water gushed forth. He then bathed himself in that water, and he also drank from that water, and the disease then disappeared. That virus, the bacteria that spread throughout his body, miraculously by drinking that water, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused him to be fully cured. He did as he was told, and in no time his body, which at one stage was covered with boils, it was reduced to skin and bones. This body of his, it regained its original shape and health. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him garments from paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him garments from Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised Ayyub alayhi salatu wa salam in the Quran. Allah says, inna wajadnahu sabira. Allah says, truly we found him patient. We found him. In other words, we tested him to see whether he will persevere and whether he will be patient. And Allah will test you. Allah will test you to test the patience within you, to test whether you will exercise patience. Because innama yuwaffas sabirun ajrahum bighayri hisab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the sabirun that they will be granted entry into Jannah without any reckoning. Every one of us would want to be amongst the sabirun, to be amongst those fortunate ones who will be granted entry into paradise without any reckoning. But you'll have to qualify. You'll have to be admitted into that category, admitted into that group of people known as Sabirun. And how will you be able to be admitted amongst them? By enduring certain calamities and tests in this world. Allah says, inna wajadnahu sabira. Truly we found Ayyub alayhi salam to be patient. Ni'ma al-abd. Allah says, how excellent a slave he was. How excellent. Ni'ma. Ni'ma in Arabic is known as fi'l al-madh. When you really want to praise somebody, then you use this ni'ma, this verb in the Arabic language. Allah says, how excellent a slave he was. Innahu awwab. This is so important. Allah says he was continuously returning to us. Awwab. He was awwab. Awwab means he kept on turning to us. In his days of prosperity, he kept on turning to us. And in his days of adversity, he still kept on turning to us. He was always turning to us. And this is when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says about a believer, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ لَهُ خَيْرٌ. That the affair of a believer is wonderful, it's so amazing. His every affair is good for him. Whether he is experiencing difficulty or good, favorable or unfavorable circumstances, Every situation is good for him. It's a win-win situation for a believer. Why? When he is afflicted with a disease, with an illness, with a sickness, loss of health, loss of wealth, loss of children, what does he do? He turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through sabr, through perseverance. So he's turning to Allah. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses him with prosperity and good health and wealth and children, then he's turning to Allah through shukr. And that's what Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam did. That's why Allah called him Awwab. Allah gave him this title Awwab. He kept on turning to Allah. His turning to Allah was not determined by circumstances. Sometimes we turn to Allah in moments of difficulty. And when we are enjoying prosperity, we forget Allah. So the circumstance is what determines our attitude towards Allah. Whereas Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, he was a loyal, sincere servant of Allah who always turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, irrespective of whether he was enjoying favorable or unfavorable conditions in his life. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to emulate the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. We ask Allah for afiyah. Never should we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put us through any test and through any trials. We should ask Allah for afiyah. That always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for afiyah, for protection, safety, security, good health, always. But there are moments in our lives where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will certainly test us with different things in order to elevate our stages in the year after. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to respond and to react during those days in a manner that is pleasing to him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.